The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know what happened? I went to the doctor, and the doctor's like, "We have bad news." And I said, "What?" And he says, "Your herpes has crabs." So
wow. You're like, "Fuck, I didn't even know that was possible." Goddamn herpes.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Doug.
They sell.
We have a t-shirt sale going on, guys.
Wet t-shirt sale?
Wet t-shirt sale. Woo! All you have to do is jump in the lake, and you have a wet t-shirt.
I want to see Adam's
nipples. Are we doing an all-white shirt campaign?
No. No, okay, let's be serious now.
Right, no, right, we do have shirts, and you know what? I was going to cut this off on the 23rd, but I've decided that let's give people more time to buy shirts.
Are we bringing back the classics, the Raw Truth shirt, and the what else? What do we got?
We have the Raw Truth shirt, and we have a V-neck mind pump.
I'm this about is, that one.
Oh, that's the one you sent
to
us. The
end of summer V.
So like, this is like the softest, plushest. I don't know, cotton.
This is my favorite shirt.
It's a tri-blend.
And it falls beautifully on the body. It's got the V-neck, so it just fucking looks sick.
I have a picture on my Instagram of it.
You look like a GQ model.
Yeah, I pretty much look fantastic in it.
It's a very classy shirt, for sure.
Sexiness level?
Very high.
Okay.
Yeah, very high.
My favorite, for sure.
So what I've decided to do, instead of cut it off on Wednesday like I was, I'm going to extend it through the weekend.
Dude.
Yeah. I like extending it versus cutting it. You know what I mean? Because I've tried both.
Yeah, yeah. Extension is always better.
People talk about how mean Doug is, but then he proves them wrong.
You know what? I like to appear like this hard ass and then surprise everybody.
And then you have a soft ass.
By being this.
You know, he's got a jiggly ass. It's a soft jiggly ass.
Not enough squats.
Not enough squats.
I'm not glute dominant enough.
That's the teacher mentality, right? You come in like a dick.
Sometimes when you get those implants.
Drop the hammer out the gates.
So do we have men's and women's? Are these men's? What's going on?
They're unisex. But women have been asking for women specific tanks and tees. So I'm going to be looking into that as well.
Okay. Maybe.
But go to mindpumpradio.com and there's a button. I think it's a blue button.
Or as Adam would say, mindpumpradio.com.
You guys don't like it? Yeah, I like it.
Hold on.
Make sure you guys get to www.mindpumpradio.com.
Mindpumpradio
podcast.
For
some reason, one W just disappears every time.
It's the wizard web.
Dub.
It's the wizard web.
Mindpumpradio.com.
Buy it.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hey, let's talk about how much you guys missed me when I was gone.
What? He was gone?
What?
You went somewhere?
Did that happen?
You know what?
We were more like, we were fantasizing. Me and Sal both were sitting here fantasizing that we were there. With you in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With you, no
doing
one else.
Other things.
So let me tell you what happened, though. Something fascinating happened. You weren't here. Justin emerged like a butterfly. And he just...
out of a cocoon?
Did you hear the episode? He was talking about all kinds of crazy knowledge.
I did.
God.
I did.
I got to drop some knowledge,
I think you repress him a little bit. I don't know. I feel like...
Bro, here's... Let me defend myself because, like I was saying... Like, we haven't covered any topics that I'm like, that's my thing yet. You know what I mean? So I just wait till it comes. And it's taken only 152 episodes to get there.
Look how hard Adam's trying not to interrupt you.
But guess what?
It's been a week, bro.
It's in there.
And he's like,
you guys just gotta ask the questions. You know what I mean?
Hey.
I kind of feel like it's like we're like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I kind of feel like I'm the peanut butter. And I don't want to say that just because the peanut butter is the best part of the sandwich.
Well, it's not sometimes you can take the jelly and bread because it's like, oh, it's kind of like toast.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of good.
Exactly. No. I'm the bread because if it
but
was just
it's
peanut
not
butter
filling.
And jelly, it's a mess.
Bro.
You know, like, where are you going to put it?
You're all hopped up on carbs. But, you know, you're not full and satiated.
It's still right? great.
You're,
jelly toast
you're
is still
you're
awesome.
Like the satiator.
You guys are being rude right now because in the room right now we have another dick. There's an extra dick in here.
Thank God.
We
got five dicks in the room. So, we got five dicks in the room.
So I wanted to bring my buddy Dave in here. So Dave Petalero is with us.
Trainer of the star. He's like the pro trainer.
Stars, yeah. Celebrities, pros, you name it.
Right?
Yeah.
Done it all.
He's your guy.
Entrepreneur also. He just recently purchased a NutriShop over here, which is cool.
Hey, congratulations, bro. Thank you. Awesome.
It's what's the address? It's on Brunel, right?
117 Brunel Road, 95119.
Beautiful.
Next to Gold's Gym.
Right across the street from the mecca of the Silicon Valley Golds. That's the one that everybody works out at.
So we've been trying to get Dave on here for a while now. We've been friends for a long time. And to give a little history, and I'll let Dave talk about himself in a minute. But, you know, I immediately before I even met this guy, I had a lot of respect for him. So I actually followed when I took over Santa Teresa, 24 Hour Fitness is where we all come from. Dave was there also.
Yeah, did he work with you too?
No, he didn't. He was there.
Actually, I know you
worked with me. Yeah, I know you work with me.
Yeah, he was at Santa Teresa, and you know, it was cool because anytime you came into a new club, I was always competing for the over the previous year, so I could look at the stats of the trainers that were there before my staff came in, and it was Dave, and who was the other guy that was always right below you?
Probably this guy Bryn.
Yeah,
Bryn Heath, maybe.
Yeah, there was one other guy that was always close to you, but you were always the one that was cranking 200.
Well, Dave will all. This is how I remember you as a trainer: extremely professional. Clients loved him, and always kind of a student of the of fitness, always learning, always perfecting his craft. You don't see that with a lot of trainers. You see a lot of trainers who start training, and then the way they train people stays the same. They never try to improve or change.
Yeah, my experience with Dave, I just knew, like, you know, he had his specialization right away. Like, I could tell that, like, he had, you know, found himself as far as, like, fitness and, like, training these athletes for the stage. And like, he was your guy that you'd go to. And so, like, even, you know, as I trained in Golds at the time with him, like, that was, like, people would seek him out, you know, specifically because, you know, he's made such a name for himself from that aspect. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So that being said,
so we just all jerked you off, right?
No,
there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, just get you warmed up.
What I don't know, and maybe you can enlighten us and the listeners and stuff like that, is that transition for you. You know, you were a badass trainer, 24 Hour Fitness. You decided to go private. You worked on. You headed over to Golds. And then when did you really? I know you were competing as a bodybuilder. When did you really get into coaching a lot of athletes?
So the coaching didn't come along until maybe 2008. I did my first show in 2003. So it was a big gap between, you know, just doing my shows, training my clients.
I remember
that. Started training, 12 years ago, 10 years of Golds now. I'd say the real coaching got about 3 years ago. That was solid. The sport of men's physique had just came out. Everybody wanted to do it. It was a new hot thing. So got a group of guys together, started working with them, and started doing shows.
Very cool. So do you have any names you could give us of people you've worked with or trained?
So
some local, because I know these are like local big boys. Like
a couple of guys that I started out with would be John Wen, James Hurst, Eddie Ronchetti. Let's see, a couple more. There's been a whole bunch, you know, but those are just a couple off top.
Well,
of my head.
I went to Dave when my very first show, so I kind of sought out. I was like, okay, this is a new world for me. Although I'm somebody who can do my diet, my training, do that, I wanted to seek someone who I knew that I felt knew more than I did in this field, and that I felt comfortable with taking advice from. And what I found out really early before I even found Dave was, you know, I was talking to a lot of different coaches and people that I know and stuff. And man, I was seeing like the diets and the routines and the stuff they were putting through. And I thought, this is crazy. Like a lot of these coaches out in the area, and I'm talking about well-respected coaches as far as how many athletes they have underneath them and how many people they teach, are teaching a lot of bad shit, a lot of really bad stuff. And I was like, wow. So instantly I knew that I was not going to go and hire anybody like that, or you know, if I already saw right away when I first met them that they were given like bullshit diets and workout routines for these athletes to get in shape, I was like, okay, well, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody who's going to enlighten me and teach me something maybe that I don't already know. And at that time, like I had
he's also got a trainer background.
Yeah,
right. Not a lot of coaches actually train. Exactly. I mean, so that's the one specialty that I have, is I get to work hands-on with a lot of my clients, which is, that's my love, that's my passion, that's what I started out doing, was changing lives. I came into this field as a trainer first. I fell into the coaching aspect, not willingly, but kind of forcefully, by a lot of people coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still not something that I thrive on. I just do it as a hobby.
Mm.
But my passion is training. You know, I get up at 3:15, my first client's at 5 a.m., and that's what I go for, is changing the everyday person's life, making them feel like they can achieve the same results as somebody who already has an athletic background.
Mm-hmm. Which I think that's so key for those that are trying to hire a coach or find someone, is you want to see that first. You want to see that he or she, whether it's a male or female coach, has got that fitness background first, as training and the health and nutrition piece first. You know what I'm saying? Like, understanding what's best for your body overall, and then also accepting that, hey, we're about to do something that's extreme and compete. But as a trainer and a good trainer, you're always trying to stay true to that taking care of the body and being healthy first, you know, before you're just doing these extremes. And I feel like a lot of these other coaches, they just push a lot of athletes to extremes to get these extreme results, not thinking about the repercussions that they're going to pay for afterwards. And so, you know, when I got down to my final 2 weeks of my first show, that's where I sought after Dave and then actually hired him. I paid him to hey, coach me and make sure that I'm doing everything right. And, you know, it was some of the best advice I had ever got, was going and speaking to him. There's just a lot of things that, you know, even with my knowledge and background, I was like, oh shit, I didn't realize how important that was going to be to my stage presence. And so I attribute a lot of my early on success in competing from him. So,
well, that's where the specific coaching really comes into play, is that those final, you know, pre-contest weeks, I would assume.
Oh, very.
The most important are the last 2 weeks leading up into the show. I mean, that's where you either make it or break it, right? You know?
So what are some of the bad things you see in terms of coaching for, you know, you don't have to call anybody out unless you want to, but, you know, what are some of the things you see that are just like, you know,
we
like,
actually
God,
like
what
that
do you,
if
you know,
you do, yeah.
Yeah, like common things that you might see that are just not working.
I mean, some of the common mistakes, I guess, would be, you know, not learning the individual's body first and just making certain assumptions. Everybody's different, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a reason every coach does something, and that's fine. You know, mm-hmm. that's what they see, and that's the way they decide to do it, and that's perfectly fine. I always believe in learning the body first. I always make sure I get a past track history of what the individual's been doing, and I kind of gauge it on that progress. If it takes me longer to achieve the results, that's fine, because I know that in the long run, it's going to be better that way.
Do you see that with a lot with diet? For example, you hear some people talk about going real low carb. Other people talk about cycling carbs. And then there's other people talk about eating higher carb and lower fat. Do you adhere to a particular philosophy, or do you notice that some people do better with, you know, one or the other?
Well, I mean, number one, right off the bat, anybody says I need to get ready, automatically they cut their carbs, whether that's be somebody training for a show or whether that's an individual client. I met a guy today, it was his first session, he's 430 pounds. He comes to me and he says, yeah, you know, I just dropped 60 pounds. I cut all carbs, stopped eating carbs. I'm like, okay, how'd that work for you? Well, as soon as I ate carbs, I gained all my weight back. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So it didn't work for you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of people just use it as a quick fix. And that's fine, you know, if that's what you're going for. But then you have to understand that when everyday life comes back into play, things are going to be different. And the biggest thing I see is post-show.
Mm.
A lot of people diet extreme, they go real low, and then after the show is done and over, when they incorporate regular food back into their life, they blow up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, there's some huge weight gains post-show that I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, crazy. Do you, how does that affect the athlete if they keep doing that?
Number one is I experience a lot of mental breakdown first and foremost, opposed to actually some stuff that harms the body with a lot of retention,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be from fat, water, sodium. The biggest key I see when I work with a lot of people is mental. You know, mentally they don't look as good as they used to. Physically they don't look as good. They can't perform like they used to. And a lot of people actually have a downward spiral from that. So first and foremost, you have to make sure that they take care of themselves.
Yeah. That mental part is not talked about enough.
No, it's not.
What about this too? I kind of noticed this, and I'm curious to you, because you've trained even more athletes than I have, is I kind of find it really, especially with men, it's more common with the men, especially in men's physique and stuff that come in, they just want, they want to learn like a steroid stack. They want to hear hormones, you know what I'm saying? And they think that that's like, that's the answer. Like, you know, I'm going to hire this coach and maybe he'll tell me like what steroids I need to take so I can look like that. Like that's the answer to looking like that. Do you see that a lot?
I do and I don't, you know, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, do I need to take this, this and that? I said, well, you know, I mean, that's totally up to you. I mean, I've worked with people that get amazing results without them, right. You know?
Yeah, I think a lot of times it's thought of as the secret, yeah. You know, or that's going to do the work for someone.
Yeah, that's what
but,
I mean.
Yeah, but I was in the gym today. I was working out today at Gold's, the one on Monterey. It's the one I usually work out at. And there was a dude working out. You can clearly see that he's got a shitty diet. His workout sucks, but he's on a shit ton of gear. So what do you think he looks like? A big, bloated, looks like he's about to have a heart attack, and he's working out, and it looks like that's what he always does. And so, you know, you could take a lot of gear and not have diet and exercise right, and you're going to look like shit.
Oh, yeah.
You're so not going to look good. So, you know, that's kind of – so what got you into – so now you're in another venture now. So you've been a trainer for a long time. You've been a trainer for a very long time.
Yeah.
Working with athletes coaching, and now you bought a supplement store.
Yeah, so
you bought NutriShop.
The purchase of the NutriShop, you know, has been in the works for a while now. My buddy Anthony used to own it before. Major props to him for starting it up, you know, and getting three other ones started. You know, he did an amazing job building the business, and it was time for him to, you know, on a way out. You know, so we talked about it and we came up with something for me to go ahead and purchase this one. You know, I got a strong staff with me, got a great partner. Basically, what it is, it's I'm looking to bring a togetherness back to the industry that's kind of been separated for a while now. I want to bring a one-stop shop. You know, so not only out of this shop are we going to have supplements, but we're going to promote other trainers now out of this shop, you know, help them build their business. bringing in meal services, so going to be providing the meal prep, so you can go there right now and you can pick up your meals for the day. They're already ready to go.
Oh, wow.
Portioned out. Females, just right off the bat, we're going 4-4. Males, we're going 6-6. I mean, you could do a lot more with that, but just real basic right off the bat, it's right there. We can go 8-8. We could do a lot of things. You know, we can get them on, like you were saying, the carb cycles. We can get them on different things. But, you know, if you want to make it easy and convenient after the gym, what do I eat? Go there. Boom. You're ready to go.
So it's just all set up.
Which is cool. It's right by the gym, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those that don't know where that address is, it's literally right in the same parking lot.
It sounds, you know, its philosophy is going to work really well. And it feels like he kind of learned that from working with me years ago.
I would attribute that to the nickname Meatball. Yes, you're right. Yeah. It has stuck with me for 12 years. I was about 225 pounds there. And that's kind of what you and DJ used to call me. Hey, Meatball. Hey, Meatball.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. So
you're a dick even.
So just for you, we have a special on turkey meatballs this week. You know, so if you want to go down there, you know.
Yeah.
So I want to get into stuff that Justin loves to talk about right now, because I'm fresh off of coming from the Olympia and flying in literally right now. And
you look really you still look sober.
Oh, he's fresh.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Really fresh sober right now.
So it's those that are listening right now, it's about 6 o'clock our time right now. I landed at 5:20 and then drove straight from the airport here, and this morning, or whatever you want to call it, last night, whatever, I got in at 6 a.m. So sun was coming up when I was trying to catch a few hours of sleep before, so straight rally for Mind Pump over here. There's no way I can miss two episodes in a row.
You're such a soldier.
But so what you got, and I wanted to save this, you know, for to talk to you guys a little bit about, but there's a lot of drama going on right now.
There's a new
there's even, I got so much for you guys right now.
Do tell.
Oh, there's more than we know.
Oh, there's more. That's why I told you I was saving it for when we got
who over. Slept with who.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so there's all this stuff
which
going
Kardashian
on.
Kardashian is banging which one,
and I do want to bring it up and hear Dave's perspective on it and what he thinks and stuff. So I'll tell you guys what I've learned, what I know myself, and then what I know are facts, but and then I'll explain what are rumors and what I don't know for sure. First of all, IFBB and NPC are kind of like the godfather of the bodybuilding industry, right? And, you know, for a very long time, it's pretty much been just them. Now, there's been other companies that have tried to start or rival it. We kind of talked about that before. But the most recent news that's happened is one of the main executives, judges that is part of IFBB, is branching off and doing his own thing, Lee Thompson. Lee Thompson was a head judge out of Texas, and is now starting a league called NPC Global. And before that had happened, I had already heard about Steve Cook, Kai Greene, and Dana Bailey not competing in Olympia. They pulled out last minute. And so this is rumor.
So are they connected? Or is that okay, the rumor
This is rumor. Okay. I don't know this. I don't have 100% facts, but you know, I will tell you that a lot of those people come from the Texas area, and you know, they supposedly are interested in joining that league, which could be really big for them to have Kai Greene, Dana Bailey, Steve Cook, those big names hopping over there right away.
Is there any word out on if they're going to change how the judging is done? Are they going to change the look that they're looking for? Because usually when another organization comes out, aside, because I know they said they want to have a shared economy, they call it, where we pay the athletes to compete, even amateurs. But a lot of times they'll say, we're also looking for something a little different. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the WBF back in the early 90s. Was it World Bodybuilding Federation?
Yeah, WBFF.
And they'd come out in like costumes and shit and make it kind of like, you know, like almost like the World Wrestling Federation at the time.
So
that totally makes sense.
What they're saying is that less of it being so different and more trying to create more clarity of what judges are looking for. So they're supposed to be like real-time judging and live feedback for the athletes and like the coaches and stuff like that. So if I'm up on stage and I'm competing, you supposedly are going to be able to hear the judges going like, oh yeah, no, I really like his deltoids, but oh, his back
while
is...
While you're posing and
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, yeah. Not me. I won't hear that.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah.
Because that would fuck me up on stage.
Yeah, no. Listeners will be able to hear the real-time judging going on. And then the scoring you'll get to know right away. So it'll be a little more cut and dry. So that's kind of the pitch. But here's the new dirt that I found. And this is some factual stuff that you guys, I'll send you guys the articles. So I'm talking back and forth with one of my other buddies who's also a coach like Dave. And he's been around the industry for a really long time. And I said, hey, what do you think about this new division and stuff and what's going on? He's like, bullshit. It's not going to last, this and that. And so he's all super anti it. And I said, well, I said, it sounds kind of good. Like, it sounds like it could be either good for the NPC and IPB because maybe it'll force them to do some things that are better for the athletes or whatever. And maybe it'll create more opportunities by another division, whatever, right? So I saw the positive side. And he started to kind of talk about Lee Thompson as just he's not a fan of him. I said, well, I don't really know much about him from what I've read and this and that. So he started sending me all these articles. And I was – so in 2009, this dude was indicted for a steroid scandal and money laundering through through the NPC.
Wow.
And so –
This is the
guy that's creating the new one?
Yes.
Okay. And this was in the paper. This was in the media, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, I'll send the articles over to you. It's a big old long article. I read all this stuff. So these are all facts. And so – this is what the real story is that, okay, so IFBB has pretty much said it's time for you to leave. You know, obviously they can't have an executive.
Think he left and he's like, well, fuck you. I'm going to do my own thing.
So that makes more sense to me. That makes more sense.
The Lowe's of Home Depot, right? Yeah.
Got it.
Now, yeah. Dave, did you know any of this? That, right? Did you know any of this yet?
I did hear some. Yeah, I was starting to get texted like the minute it came out. Hey, did you hear this? Hey, did you hear that? And I was just like, oh, interesting. But
what do you think?
I think it's going to be hard. I think it's going to be hard to get a lot of people to switch over. They put a lot of time already in the NPC and the IFBB that for them just to switch over, it probably wouldn't be the smartest thing for them.
Yeah, because security, right? They're like, man, if I switch, I'm going to burn a bridge. And then if this shit doesn't work. On the flip side, I was talking to Adam about this. Competition's sometimes good, but like the WEC was competing with the UFC for a while, Pride. And then the UFC just bought them because they did well.
Well, now they still have Bellator to deal with, though.
I wouldn't be surprised if eventually UFC bought Bellator.
I mean, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If they continue to do well.
That may happen. But right now, I feel like maybe that's the closest comparison to what's going on with
the, and my buddy thinks that that's going to do well. He thinks Bellator is going to bring, because he's bringing it back to the Bay Area.
Well, because they still have a lot. I mean, I think the UFC is trying to legitimize, the overall sport. So they have to go through all these growing pains
of
sponsorships and how to unify everything.
Yeah,
right?
But when your headliners are old, like beat up UFC fighters, then you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah,
because you have to develop your own, and that's the thing with this new division.
But it's still the standard, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing with this new NPC Global division. The way that I think someone like this would do well, sure, you're going to take some top guys. Maybe you pay someone a lot, like Kai Greene or whatever. We're speculating, but you say, here, move over to us, and we'll pay you a shitload of money. But really what's going to make them explode is if they discover talent themselves. Uh-huh. Because otherwise they just look like old IFBB guys.
Yeah.
But if they have a new guy that they develop, you know, that's when the freaking, that's when you're competing.
Well,
you know,
and
does that make sense?
Yeah, but that's what, just like the UFC, what do? They end up, that guy comes out and he starts there, then they throw money.
They throw way more money at him.
They throw way more money at him, and then they just acquire him over to the
IFBB. At the end of the day, it's better for the athletes.
Well, and that's what I said. So I said, I kind of saw the positive side of, okay, it'll create this maybe healthy rivalry between the IFBB and this new NPC Global. And maybe that will force the IFBB to have to maybe dip into their pockets a little bit more or offer better opportunities for the athletes. So I kind of saw that side of it. But to me, I was most surprised by, you know, I'm always looking for people's motives, you know. And of course, when you listen to the first interview, if you guys haven't listened to it already, I think someone posted it on my Facebook of Lee Thompson coming out and announcing it. So it's a whole his you know, one-on-one interview or whatever of him talking about, you know, what he's doing in his vision and you know, how much he cares about the athletes and this and that. You know, and you hear all that, and I can't help but think, like, you know, read between the lines of, like, oh, man, that's so nice of this guy. He cares so much about us. But, you know, in reality, what's it really all about? And then when I started seeing all the articles like that, I thought, oh, wow, okay. Well, that makes a lot more sense now that, you know, you don't really have a job anymore in the IFBB, so it's it bodes well to start a new division.
It'll be interesting for sure.
Something.
I got a question for Dave. The new physique, was it classic division that's coming out? What do you think of that?
I actually like that. I think a lot of the guys that are doing the men's physique now with the board shorts and, you know, and they do got some legs and they like the more classical part and they want to show off their posing a little more, I think it's great for them to come over and switch.
Now, are they supposed to be bigger in the classic division but not as big as bodybuilding? Is there a size difference? Do you know?
Not too sure, but okay. I would assume so. Okay. You know, I haven't followed that too much, but obviously in between. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously when men's physique came out, it did huge, right? So they're assuming classical physique comes out and does just as huge.
Sure.
Right? They're turning over a lot of pros. Almost every show is about 100 pros.
In the physique?
These big national shows. No, not just physique, but in general, in all the categories. So there's a lot more pros coming into the sport. And the Olympia started, what, 2-3 years ago with 19 guys? And now there was, what, 36 this year?
Yeah.
And then next year there'll be 50.
Why do you think it's such a fast growing part of the IFBB?
Oh, it's growing fast because of the money. You know, I mean, the faster it grows, the more money that's made.
It seems more marketable to me also. You know what I mean? Like, bodybuilders are so big now and so muscular and so freakish looking that a physique competitor, if they can put them on more magazines,
oh, definitely, and more people can relate. It's definitely more appealing to the eye. It's more of a natural look. It's what the everyday gym rat wants to achieve. You know, they go, man, I want to look like that. And they see a bodybuilder, they go, oh, there's no way I could look like that. You know, I mean, no matter how hard I train or you guys train, you probably never get to that level.
No, never.
Yeah, you know, but you can get to looking really good.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to is in the physique, it's looking as best as you can, showing off what you look like.
It's getting pretty competitive now.
It's getting very competitive now, yeah. There's a lot of guys, and they all look amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, the last time you competed, you said, was what, 2003 in bodybuilding?
2008.
2008 in bodybuilding?
Yeah, in bodybuilding.
Would you think about competing ever again?
I mean, if I wasn't so busy and I wasn't doing my thing, I mean, possibly as a hobby, but now it's...
Would you stay in bodybuilding, or would you do a different category?
I would either do bodybuilding or classical physique.
Classical,
you know, yeah. I like to train my legs. My legs look pretty good, I think.
Yeah, and, you got wheels.
Mm-hmm. I would show them off.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Awesome. Well, and now you were not at the Olympia weekend.
No, I wasn't able to make it out there this weekend. I had a lot going on with starting up the shop, trying to get some things set up. You know, one of the big things we're looking to get out of there is Live Fit apparel line. We just placed an order for 23 different items on that. That should be in by Thursday and ready to go for our grand opening this Saturday.
Saturday grand opening,
yep. Love. From 10 a.m. till 4 p.m.
You getting balloons?
Getting DJ, getting food out there. We're going to have games, prizes, all that stuff.
That's beautiful.
20% off everything.
I love it. So, okay, so besides all that, you weren't at the Olympia. And earlier when we were off the mics here, you and Adam were talking about what these conventions are kind of like. A lot of our listeners have never been to one of these conventions. Like, break it down, because you know, you guys were talking about it, and I've been to, and I, for me, like, I've been to two, and I'm like, I don't want to really ever go again. I mean, what are they like?
Dude, you're just trying to get us to talk shit, bro.
It's all good, dude. I can talk shit if you want.
He's such a dog right there. Yeah, that's why he brings it up, because we were talking shit before we got on the mic, and then Sal's like,
no, it's not that you're talking shit. You're just, you know, you're kind of breaking it down.
Well, here's the thing. I think if you're into the world, if you're into bodybuilding, you're into men's physique, you're into bikini, if you're into that stuff, I believe it's something you should do at least once. At least once you should go check it out. It's quite the spectacle. I've never been into celebrities, or I don't get that doesn't impress me. I'm not into that stuff, right? Where I kind of feel like it's turned into this like social media, Instagram, celebrity, like.
So it's a lot more social media celebrities now.
Yeah, and it feels very red carpet-ish. So like when Shreds came in.
Oh, God, I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like homeboy comes out with his mirror glasses.
First of all, they're rolling with like five of the biggest name security guards in like the industry, like people that are That's security stupid. For like all your big rappers and rock stars.
They need security,
so they have those guys that roll in with them. They come in entourage style with the whole camera on a crane and like a whole group of them all in the matching jumpers and everything like that, and just the place goes insane, dude. And it's like I literally threw up in my mouth because it's just
You went up and hugged.
Oh,
Joey.
I did. I was just like,
good,
I couldn't wait.
Joey.
I was teasing Mike. I don't know if you guys saw my Periscope or not, but I Periscoped that when Mike picked me up to head over there, and Mike's totally not in that world. And I'm just like. Called him out and said, hey, can't wait to get over there and meet Devin Physique and Joey Swole. He wants to take pictures with them so bad. But the people wait in these lines for like, I'm not kidding, 45 minutes to an hour to get, a handshake and a picture with one of these Instagram famous people. And it's just...
it's the future. It looks like the future of the sport. It looks like the future is... you used to have to rely on an organization to promote you, but now you just promote yourself.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these guys are promoted through there, which would be a great little thing.
Yeah, but the athletes, I respect that. They don't even compete.
Yeah.
Let's just put that out there.
Yeah, it's true.
No, your personality.
Like, I respect the athlete. I don't respect that.
Well, and here's any... So,
that's the Kardashian effect.
So I got one for you guys. You guys will like this too, so I found this out. So a good girlfriend of mine, she's like me. She's very into the business side of the social media, and she likes digging through like these companies like Shreds and seeing like how much of this is a facade, how much this is real, what's it like.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the things that like, people just don't realize is like, like their office is also, Devin's, Paige, Joey's, Arvin's, it's all their house and kitchen. So it's like it's one place that all the
everybody
gets photoshopped. All the photos taken of like.
Oh yeah, they have their marketing media manager that writes all their posts for them, and then they just like
a lot of this stuff is.
I understand that.
Yeah, it's very, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people they eat it up. They eat it up, and they're just think
they're like, sheep.
These people are just like these amazing people that just care so much about everybody and their health and wellness. And I'm just like, these guys are just like the face of the supplement line. And that's the other thing too, is that a lot of these companies are whoring them out. It's the supplement companies really making them.
Absolutely.
And it's great because they're so smart, because they feed into these young kids' egos. Because how cool is it to walk into this place?
It'll make a lot of noise.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And like the place goes nuts and people snapping pictures and waiting in line. I mean, I would be lying if I said it doesn't feel good to walk around and people stop me and say hi and want to take a picture with me. So it feels good. It would feel good for anybody. And I have no idea what that feels like at that celebrity level of those guys when they walk in. But the thing is, that's what these companies do, is they find that. And they feed right into that with these kids and like make them feel like these superstars. But at the end of the day, the people really making the money are the people that are doing setting it all up.
The owners.
That's the crazy part.
I don't know, some of these social media kids or whatever make a shitload of money, bro. A shitload of money.
I think they're doing all right.
Yeah, some of them like these YouTube kids that'll like play video games and shit, and people record them playing video games. The one kid, I don't remember what his name was, PewDiePie, I think his name is. He's like the lead. He plays Minecraft. My son plays Minecraft.
Yeah.
Kid made seven
and like Twitch.
He made something like $7 million dollars.
Twitch TV.
Yeah.
Well, I heard something about some statistic. I don't know if it's true or not, but you make After every like 100,000 subscribers, you get like something like 50,000 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. So Doug would know that.
I don't know that. I wouldn't confirm
You're
that.
You're supposed to know that,
it's
Doug.
Something like that.
It's your job to know that shit, Doug. All right, whatever.
We're going to start a YouTube channel.
I've heard all kinds of random. Probably the most accurate, based off of what I've seen from myself, is, you know, you should be able to convert a dollar to a follower type of deal. So like, if you've got 100,000 followers, you should be able to convert that to about $100,000 a year. If
you're smart, but I mean,
yeah.
Like, yeah, like it's just as far as like overall advertisement, they'll pay you.
Oh, you mean like if somebody else sees that? Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Once you start getting over 100,000 plus followers, that's where, I mean, even before that, I mean, companies were already coming after me and trying to see if I would promote their stuff. And at that point, as a social media kid or whatever, you have over 100,000 people that are tied to you. You have a lot of leverage. And I think that's what they don't understand.
Yeah.
They get excited because all these companies are offering them free T-shirts and shit or free supplements. But
they sign a contract where it's exclusive.
You have no idea how much power you have. If you've got 40,000 to 100,000 people that are tuning in to you every single day, that is so much more than a T-shirt.
Well, that's the beginning. It gives them an opportunity, I guess. You know, maybe they start somewhere and then they start to learn, and some of them get taken advantage of. It's like any other industry. Shit. Hollywood. I mean, all these industries, I think,
porn.
Do the same thing. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
No, I think
that's
it's a very
good industry.
It's a very
a lot of, you know, solid, you know.
Yeah, but who's really making the money? How many? You
the
know,
women,
the pimp,
the women, and the people making the porn. No, see, here's the thing.
I know you're right. The women do make
here's
the
thing.
Most.
Here's the thing. So this is what the internet has done to porn. The internet has made
it's the distributor.
It has made individual like amateur people famous, and then they make a lot of money instead of the other way around. So I'm wondering if, like, in physique and bodybuilding stuff, if that'll start happening.
Oh yeah, it should.
Like you're just gonna promote yourself. Like, why am I gonna, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna make myself famous, and then you're gonna pay me because I'm already famous.
Well, let's paint that picture. What would you see like the future of this sport, like evolving into as far as that goes with sponsorships?
So this is what I, and this is also,
and it used to be you had to look good and that's it. Now you got to look good, and you should be able to present yourself in terms of social media.
Well, this is where
Kai
Greene and Dana Bailey, okay, this has a lot to do with whether they end up going, whether that's a rumor about them going to the NBC. That I don't know is a fact. A lot of it could be, too, that they're realizing that them competing at Olympia does nothing for them anymore. They already have a name. They're already huge. Going into this is only helping that.
You know what? That's a great point because you know, 20 years ago, winning Mr. Olympia gave you a shitload of credibility in terms of being able to sell supplements and programs and products and put you on a magazine. Now, I bet some of the top sellers are not even competitors.
Well, exactly. That Shreds is a perfect example of that. They're cranking out more supplements than anybody else.
Yeah, they're more interested in you doing a squat on one of those fucking rolling things and, you know, dumbass shit on social
media. Dude, that's crazy. Who did that?
The what? Oh yeah, that was Bradley Martin.
Dude, that is dumbass shit.
Did you see that, Dave?
I didn't see that one. No, I must have missed it.
Dude. So it's like, you know, those little skateboard things that look like little Segways, but there's no.
You know what? I did see that. I did. Yeah. I lied.
Dude,
yeah.
He was doing.
It's just stupid shit like
it was
that.
Like 400 pounds or something, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, I did see it. Like that.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
thanks.
But anyway, I mean, but that's what the and I give him like credit to the fact that he knows that that's going to get him like a million hits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, but that's what. It's like somewhat of a dangerous element now we got to throw in there for people to give a shit, you know, and so that's what makes you money.
Well, I also think this is where we came from, and this is why we do what we do.
Exactly. That's why I have to say, you know, call it out and be like, stop fucking doing that.
And that's just it, is that it's okay. I respect him for doing it, you know, what he's doing, because he's like you said, he's being, when you think about it as far as from a marketing standpoint, it's smart because like you said, fucking a million people shared that thing. You know, they see it and it's like, holy shit, that's crazy he did that. It's stupid too.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? It's also going to get, you know, 100,000 people now that he didn't have before now watching that. So you can't hate on him too much about it. But at the same time too, that's what we've always been about, is like bringing shit to light and being like, you know, do not go out and do some stupid shit. It's cool if you want to look at it and you think it's cool and it's funny. But by no means do you want to emulate that because you see like you're this fucking Insta famous kid that you want to be like, you know, doing. So I guess that's the hard part. And I think, you know, we're going to see more of that as we continue to evolve in this industry and it keeps going. You know, you're going to see a lot of these athletes starting to promote themselves and do things, and it's going to be hard for the average person to kind of weed out who's bullshit, who knows what they're doing.
Well, I just wish that was more tied into, like, you know, the Jackass stunts. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a place for that, and it's awesome. It's hilarious. And, you know, you expect them to hurt themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't put that, don't cross that.
Hey, man. You know, at the same time,
the same world.
In the same time, let's just be honest, the personal training industry is guilty as shit for some of that stuff, too.
I know.
Remember that
That's why I'm trying, you know, we're trying to clean that shit up.
We were all trainers during the freaking physio ball, everything, you know, era. Remember that, Dave?
I remember it. Yeah. A lot of people actually got hurt on that thing, dude.
I know.
they actually banned people from doing the chest press on it because a lot of times it popped and a guy would break his back.
Oh, no shit.
I've seen it happen, dude.
You saw it pop?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Where? Was that Gold?
Jeez. I don't even remember what gym it was at. Yeah, but all of a sudden, here's kaboom, and guy's on his back. I'm like,
oh.
Yeah,
that's so funny. It's so fun. You're right, though. You are right that we have definitely, you know, it's just like the exercise thing too, though, which just makes me die laughing when I see the one you tagged me the other day on the weighted pull up machine doing pushdowns for your triceps.
God, do you see that, David? Do you still see that at Gold's where people
use? I see it a lot for the butt. I get a lot of that one.
Now what? You're obviously an internally very strong person because you don't walk over and slap them in the face. How do you prepare yourself to not say? Do you just ignore them? Because that would drive me nuts if I was working in that gym.
You know, I mean, I'm there 12 hours a day, every day.
See a lot of shit.
60 hours a week. I see almost everything, and I just look, I smile, and I go,
Okay. To each their own.
That's pretty much what it is. To each their own. You know, I mean, everybody does something for a reason. Whatever that reason is totally up to them, man.
I saw a guy. Where was it? I think it was at your Gold's. He was kind of built, but he was using the row machine and he was like bending over and doing shoulder press with it. So like bending over, kind of putting up his head against the pad, and then like, and I'm like, why don't you just do a standing shoulder press? I don't get why.
Well, that's
why you got to use the row machine for that.
You know, because I'm such a huge Shreds fan, I was looking at Joey Swole's page the other day and
haters have arrived.
I know.
That's us.
Right. Right. I just can't help
it. Mount up.
It's too easy, man. It's too easy when you do shit that everybody, and I can't help but look at like 5,000 comments of people sharing, going like, oh, check this out. We got to try that next week. And I'm going like,
what was it?
He took a cable fly machine, right? And then he did what he did was he used a preacher bench to lay his back up against it and create basically an incline fly. But it was just like this, all this extravagant shit to create an incline fly. And I thought, well,
you could have put a bench there.
Yeah, you could have used the benches. Or you could have just dropped the free motion machine.
Given that you don't have a bench or dumbbells or like anything available, you know, this is your easy fix to that.
It is.
You know what? We should make a bunch of videos like where we just get super creative.
Fucking creative.
I would love absurdity. To do that.
Ever do curls on the leg extension?
We'll call it creative absurdity.
They are. They people will be doing these exercises that are just so over the top that it's like, there's already a machine that's created for that, dude. There's no reason for you to go wheel over a bunch of other equipment and do all this weird shit to try and emulate it. Like, that machine actually is right over there and nobody's using it.
Well, see, I mean, I know working in gyms, I've seen just some crazy shit. And I wonder if the crowd, if you see different types of crazy shit at Gold's versus 24. Like, is there?
You have to. I think it's worse at 24.
Yeah,
because it's
24 is worse.
That's just like the vibe. And
which one's worse in terms of just crazy shit that you see, Dave?
I would say probably Gold's has more stuff, just because there's more people there, there's more equipment, and there's more things to get fancy with. You know, I mean, 24 Hour Fitness is pretty basic.
Yeah.
You know, true. You know what I think a lot of it comes down to is people get bored.
Yeah.
People get bored doing the same thing. They're like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way.
Well, you know, and this is I told these guys before that this is where I'm kind of okay with it. And I, because I know I'm sure, I mean, you'll probably catch me do something that's kind of different or weird once in a blue moon. And that's why I do it, because I'm bored as fuck. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do something different just to entertain myself. Where I have an issue with it is when I see these young kids that are emulating it, that's like, dude, there's so many foundational lifts that you need to be doing to build that physique of yours before you start getting creative like that, because
there's a lot. Yeah.
You haven't earned boredom yet. You haven't earned boredom yet. You need to be doing some squats and bench press and deadlifts for a little bit longer.
Dude, I see it all the time. You'll see the young kids, you know, 18, 19, skinny. They want to build muscle, and you could tell they're really serious. Like, oh, they're so excited because they're lifting weights.
Yeah, and then
they're doing like a shit ton of like machine arm exercises because it's bicep day, and they're going from one machine to another, and they're getting fucking going crazy. And I'm watching them like, if you just barbell rowed and got stronger at that, it would crush everything else you're doing in there, you know, with all those machines. And they are, you're right, they're emulating a lot of these other guys who are already big and muscular, who then get bored and want to invent shit or just, you know, get a good pump.
Yeah. You know, I had a question for you, Dave, circling back around to your coaching. Do you think you coach more women competitors than men, or what do you think? You have a lot of both.
Me personally, I do have a lot of both. You know, my clientele is 50-50 with my clients. So in terms of bikini competitors and men's physique competitors, I think I work well with both. And I think a lot of that attributes to the way my wife looks. You know, she looks really great in my opinion, and people see that. And so they obviously know that, oh, wow, he works good with males and females.
Yeah.
You know, some people get along with males better than females. Some people can get along with females better than males. And I just have the luxury of I can get along with both. I'm mm-hmm. very personable. My youngest client is 14 years old. My oldest client is 73 years old. So I can pretty much, you know, work with the broad spectrum of things. Some people, they like to just have a niche. And whether that's males or females, that's fine. Everybody has a specialty, you know?
Yeah.
What's your favorite kind of client? Overall, not necessarily male, female, but in terms of goal or age or
favorite client, I would have to say is the one who's going to be dedicated and consistent.
So you just like the hard.
I just like someone that works hard, because I can take someone who works hard and maybe has the worst genetics, and I could put them on stage and they could come out top five.
Awesome.
And that's God's honest truth. I've done it before.
So, and I would say that, wouldn't you think that that's probably, and I feel the same way too. I really like dealing with athletes for that reason. There's nothing cooler than telling someone to do something and you don't even have to worry whether they're going to do it or not. You know, which your average client, it's like you tell them to do something and then half the time too, you're just like, you know, did he do all of it or did he do half right. of it, or he lie about this, or, you know, half-ass this. With competitors, I imagine, you know, 90% of your competitors are doing exactly what you tell them to do because they're in the sport of it, right?
Right. And then most of the competitors, you know, they're using your service as more online. So you're working with them remotely. So you actually never see them face to face. So they have to follow everything because you're not there to ride them on a daily basis. A lot of my individual clients I see on a daily basis and I know, hey, you didn't come to the gym today.
Yeah.
They're like, well, yeah, I know. I'm like, yeah, I know, you know. I've been here.
Exactly.
Oh, I know. I'm like, okay.
Exactly. Well, good deal, man. So Saturday's your big grand opening party, NutriShop?
Yep, this Saturday from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m.
All right, perfect. And
are you doing discounts? What do you got going on? What's
we got 20% off everything. We're going to be raffling some prizes. We're going to have the meal service there that we're going to be providing for everybody to go ahead and try out, see how they like it. The Live Fit apparel will be there. We'll have like, what, 200-300 items there. So anybody that's a big, you know, Live Fit fan, you know, come on out, dude. We're going to have the widest variety from here to San Francisco around.
Awesome.
Very nice. Cool.
Maybe we'll give, maybe we'll have some shirts in your store. What do you say?
Yeah, we got lots of shirts. We got the NutriShop shirts. We got my Impact Training shirts. We have the Live Fit shirts. We're going to get some Mind Pump shirts in there. We're going to have some Level Up shirts in there.
Yeah.
Pretty much anybody else that's looking to promote the business, you know, whether it's a trainer who needs some love, you know, someone just starting out, come stop by. I get it daily. Hey, you got a good trainer for me? I'm like, well, unfortunately, I'm all booked up, but my buddy, or you know what, I got this perfect lady for you, or, oh, this CrossFit studio is awesome. You know, you guys name it, come on out, show your support, and we'd love to promote you.
Beautiful.
Very cool.
Love it. Thanks for coming, brother.
Hey, awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.